The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's the Weekend Podcast. It's a big, long, fat bank holiday Easter weekend. I'm joined by Pete and Pad, the two P's there on the bank holiday. You all right, lads?
Hello. Hey, Justin.
Steve is getting married. He hasn't invited us to the wedding. He's gone to Ireland to get married. He's trying to find one on the hoof. He is on the fly. He hasn't found anyone yet. He's booked
the hoof. Or a cow.
Yeah, he's booked the venue. He's hoping to get lucky, you know, because he's hoping the Irish people will fall for his Welsh charm. Because after the thrashing we gave them in the Six Nations, he's hoping to, you know, say I'm from a Welsh rugby team. See, did you recognise me? And. But I don't know. I think he's gone to a wedding, isn't he? Of some kind. I think
he's best man, isn't he?
Is he dressed
in the same way as you? Those pictures you sent us during the week.
They were cracking. A friend of his.
Amazing.
He was like a page girl, wasn't he? But let's be honest, he was dressed like a girl. But he had really silvery, shiny sort of like white pinky trousers on. Shiny camembert. I think those clothes probably banned this day and age for health and safety. Because literally, if you get within 5 yards of a naked flame, they would go up, wouldn't they?
It was the pink camembert that was fetching.
Yeah, but really shiny as well. And he's how old
these
is he?
These are childhood photos that you never want to see again.
Well, he was 18, wasn't he? But he's about 18 years of age. And someone thanked him for, like, you know, 10, 20 years ago for being their page boy. And I just laughed my head off that. Hilarious. It was Steve. It was almost like he's with three bridesmaids, but he looked the most feminine, I thought, even though he's in trousers.
you should put it on the the tweet you do for the podcast this week, so everyone else can see it.
I will do that. That'd be a good idea. Yes, and I tell you what, though, apparently it's been billed as the best football game ever. Nearly, was it?
Oh, how about
Paddy? You're a Spurs fan, yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
I tell you what, though. Listen, I just think they paid the ref off, you know, because there's VAR there, and if people don't watch football, essentially, Tottenham beat Man City in their new ground, and they had to go away to beat play, you know, Man City for the Champions League here, for getting the semi-final, and Man City won, didn't they, on goals?
Yeah,
4-3. Yeah. But it was four goals in the first. Something like 12 minutes.
Ten minutes.
Ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. It was ridiculous. So it ended up 4-3, but Man City had one disallowed because they went to VAR, and he was offside or something. And then they went to VAR for a Tottenham, another goal. Let's be honest, he handballed it. It was off his arm.
Definitely hit his arm, yeah. But I don't think it was intentional. I think both decisions were right.
It doesn't matter if it's intentional, does it? If it's because of your arm, it's handball, isn't it?
No, it definitely matters. So if it's intentional and if your arm breaks the silhouette of your body is apparently the rule. And so his arm was close to his body, it wasn't intentional. It came off the ball, actually, it came off his hip into the goal, so that was the direction of the ball. So, no, it was a goal.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, what Tottenham tried to do this.
The last minute goal, and then, like, the stadium is going
that
crazy.
Was incredible, wasn't it?
And you're like, oh, man, gutted for Spurs. And Sterling and Pep Guardiola is running down the line, and it's going crazy. And then the referee, I mean, he's like, no, hold on.
Just flicks the switch. And suddenly then the Spurs fans go crazy.
I know, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely incredible.
Do you know with VAR, I didn't see that bit last time, but with VAR in football now, do you see what's happening or not?
Yeah.
See what the ref's seeing.
I always remember when, you know, there was arguments about VAR for years about football, and said, no, it happens in rugby, it's fine. And people said, no, football's more flowing, though. You can't stop the flow of the play. And so what they did, they brought it in, and they changed it a little bit to stop the flow of the play. And in rugby, they actually put it on the big screen. It's still part of the game in rugby. Everyone's slow it down.
Yeah,
everyone's
going,
and everyone goes,
stadium, you don't.
Why
you
do
don't
they do that? But everyone watches it and goes, oh! It's part of the game. It's a fun part of the game. It's slowed down. It's actually part of the drama.
It's the same with replays. You're not allowed to see replays which could cause a fight.
It's all about trying to keep the crowd.
But what they've done there, they've achieved the exact opposite of what they tried to achieve. They said, well, right, listen, we don't want to stop the game in any way, spoil the flow. So what we'll do is take it away, we'll stop the game 5 minutes, and we'll do it secretly. You know, which is ridiculous. You realise in any society, you know, any industry, any sector, the upper echelons are not smarter than the average Joe blogs. You know, they make stupid decisions. And so I just think, you know.
No, but at home you can see it. Like, we can see it on TV. But it's just like, Pad says, in the ground, unfortunately, because of the nature of football crowds, you can't have it.
I don't think so. I think you'd add to it.
How many
football I go every week, twice a week.
Yeah.
But hang on. What's more likely to cause a fight? Frustration of not seeing it and making a decision you'll agree with, or actually seeing it and confirming the ref's decision? It's been lots of fights anyway. There's fights anyway. That's it. Outside the ground, it doesn't matter. I just think if you see the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but you can't handle the truth. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that the crowd can't handle the truth? They've verbally lied to and not revealed the truth?
Yeah. Depending on your bandwidth of your 4G provider, you might be able to watch it on your phone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's the ridiculous thing, isn't it? You can just watch it live on your phone. Yeah, it's fine.
All right. I tell you what, have you seen these climate protests in London?
Yeah, I went up there. I took part on the...
Did you? Were you in that pink boat?
I was on Westminster Waterloo Bridge.
He built the pink boat. Pad did. He's quite handy. He said, "I've got some spare pink, paint from my living room. A couple of them knocking together." But I don't know if it's just me, but I think this time the promotion for David Attenborough's programme's gone way too far. And you think, God, way over the top. You know, bringing London to a standstill. David's got a lot to... I'm not going to watch that programme tonight now. I just think even watching telly is bad for the environment, I think. Do you believe in it? Do you believe in climate change? Do you think it's happening?
It's nothing to... Yeah, yes, of course.
There we are. Peter?
Do you believe in it? That's such a weird way of saying it.
Well, no, because there are people that deny us. You know, Trump
they're
is...
They're idiots.
Trump
they're
is the...
Critics.
I know, but Trump is the main denier. You know, you're saying it doesn't...
It's credited.
I know.
The evidence is highly compelling.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I don't know if you saw what tweeted out today, and I said, listen, whether it's happening or not, it's highly debated. Even Trump, you know, the biggest imbecile in the world, says it's not happening. And I just said that, listen, if we do something, right, about it, and it doesn't exist, what harm have we done? You know, basically, we're clearing the air, we're cleaning the waters, we're making things better anyway. You know, I mean, if we do that, if we try and tidy up the environment, you know, if it does exist and we do nothing, what harm will be done? Hey, that's profound, isn't it? Hey!
Wow.
Exactly. Dude. That's sort of like what Trump's missing. He's getting excited about the steel industry and the coal industry and trying to get jobs back into those ones. But actually, there's an opportunity with renewables to employ even more people.
Exactly.
They could be market leaders in renewables rather than trying to go back to old technology.
And what he's missing is there'd be no workers left in about 60 years' time. There'd be no animals here. It doesn't matter.
It'll be under the sea.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this, right? I don't care. I don't care what the weatherman said. No, I don't care, right, what you believe. Whether you believe it's happening or not. That's not the point. If you're an investor, you've got to think with an investor's head on. You've got to think, okay, listen, whether it's happening or not, I don't care. There's a lot of money going into it. The whole world's going this way. They're going towards renewables, and you've got to embrace that change as an investor. And you've got to say, okay, where can I make money here? That's all you need to ask. You don't deny it on a political level. You say, oh, it's not happening. Doesn't matter. Billions are being poured into renewables and clean energy. Go with the flow, man. Go with the growing markets. Yeah. No, go with the growing markets, you know? And I think that's one of the major issues people can't get with investing. I mean, if you look around, right, there's loads of areas, isn't there, that things are growing. There's water reduction, you know, water waste, plastic reduction, there's clean energy, there's CO2 reduction. Look, there's billions being poured into that, and it's not going to stop. You know, governments are ratcheting it up. We're getting, like, this climate change demonstration now is getting worse and worse. And the big programs, you know, attracting, a lot of momentum. Go with the flow. That's what you have to do. Get, you know, other sectors, the big... Do you know what? I did a thing this week. What I think is this, right? This is what I think. I think there are too many opportunities on the stock market. Too many. There is.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's the problem. There's too many. Of course, every share you can make money in, right? And the problem with a lot of them is just... A lot of them are just disguised. Most of the opportunities are disguised as opportunities. They're not. Most of them are average. They'll deliver average returns or poor or negative returns. So,
oh, now he tells us.
Yeah, but yeah. And the thing is, it's easy to get distracted from the opportunity, right? And this is why, guys.
I don't know where this is going.
Yeah, no, this is why, yeah. Guys. No.
And I'm going to mention it. This would have been crucial information a year ago.
No. This is why, guys. Right, you must specialise. This is where I come down to. You must specialise. And if you look at it, right, a 100-metre sprinter will always beat a decathlete. Always. Because they specialise in 100 metres. That's all they do. They specialise on something. Now, you know, you see all... if you look at the stock on Twitter, for example, there are people who take punts on everything. From, like, big stocks, small stocks, this sector, that sector, you know, a debt-riddled company to, like, a clean balance sheet. And they have no discipline whatsoever. You know, they'll see something being ramped on Twitter and they jump onto it. Oh, that's going to go well. But they hang on. Yeah. Get good at something. Get good at one area. Go for one area. You know?
Well, I think along similar lines is that I get caught up sometimes in the, like, the stock exchange is going to finish this year or something. You know, it's like, you know, it'll always be there. There'll always be opportunities. You know, you don't need to buy every single stock. You know, I have fallen into a little bit of that trap, I think, in the past where I've bought lots. Whereas I am trying to now, like you say, consolidate and specialise in certain and really pick ones where you go, yeah, there is definite potential and actually back that solidly rather than spreading that across, you know.
Yeah, because honestly, there's opportunities every day. I mean, some of you better than others, but it's getting right. I mean, I honestly think success as an investor depends not on your ability to find lots of investment ideas, but to reject the average or below average and find out the difference. This is why you have to create, and I've done this, create sort of series of quality filters that will allow you to hone in it on that one decent one, you know? Focus on the best, reject the rest. Do you know what I've been looking at, right? I say this because those high areas there of growth, we talk about there, water reduction, plastic reduction, clean energy, all that stuff, all those will be, a solution will be found through tech. Tech will find a solution to all this. We won't die as a human race. We're too clever. Honestly, we'll find a way around it. We'll do something. But tech will be the answer to it. And so that's why I think tech is the fastest growing sector around now, more than anything. It fits all that. But do you know, I've been looking at the last couple of 10 baggers, every year pretty much, right? Tech throws up a 10 bagger. And I've looked at the last two, which I've been involved in, EVRH, VRS, and they've got several things in common. Come on, here's a quiz time, right? Traits. Traits of a tech 10 bagger. What do you think they are? Pad, go with number one. What do you reckon?
Hype.
Well, yes. What creates that hype?
A USP, a unique kind of thing, a unique sales proposition that is ahead of its other competitor. Well, there isn't. It's unique.
Something brand new. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I'll I'll do a little video on it. So I found five traits that I think fit a tech 10 bagger, right? And the first one is right. It's probably the hype. You know, and why is the hype around there? It's because it's in a hot sector. You know, there's a hot tub where people think, oh, it's growing, it's massive, it's going to get bigger. And that's, first of all, you've got to have that trait. First and foremost, I think it's one of the most important traits to have. Very hype-filled, you know? And I did a tweet out this week saying, you hope, hype, and potential equals momentum, right? And you will not find that in a broker's note or any financial statements. But, you know, as a private investor, that's the advantage we've got. You know, it's not just Reed being an accountant and reading a financial statement. An accountant would not find a 10-bagger off instinct because he wouldn't see the hype, hope, and potential there, you know? So I just think you've got to find, you know, hot sectors, you know, environments, big environmental things are good. Gaming, obviously very hot at the moment. Everyone's getting into that, all the big guys. And, I'd say this is the way you should hone down, you know, investments. I used to be like this. I used to be on Twitter, you know, about 2-3 years ago and didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I'd jump on any potential ramp in the stock, you know, and I think, oh, that's good. I'll just get into that. And basically, the person who's telling the best story would get my money, you know, on Twitter, pretty much any company, you know.
Where are you saying the big guys get into gaming and gaming is big? I mean, for me, gaming's been, well, not for me, but to me, gaming has been massive in the last, what, 10 years, really.
Yes, but not, do you know what? No, but it's, I know, but you've seen the growth rates. It's still growing, they reckon, between 7 and 10% a year, and it's $180 billion. And not only that, it's changing now.
Saying the big guys are getting in? I think the big guys have been involved for 10,
Google, Amazon and all that. Google are just getting into it, really, aren't they? And Amazon, they're doing subscription. That's what I'm saying. It's like...
Oh, okay.
It's changing. The model's completely changing, and it will open up advertising side of it, which, of course, lends itself to Bidstack and all that stuff. But gaming, I think, will get better. Did you see someone shared it on Twitter this week? It was rather than, you know, games at the moment, they're still so cartoony, aren't they? And pixels and that. So, I mean, they're quite good quality, of course. But someone showed a preview. It wasn't quite full of game, but of almost real life. So you'd have Call of Duty, which is quite good, isn't it? I mean, the graphics in that is quite good. But the graphics were actually, you couldn't tell the difference between a human and the graphics. And I think it would get like that. Advertising would get better. It would be AR-driven. So it will evolve. Sometimes we don't see, because it's in the future, how it will evolve. But it will evolve. And I've always said about this, you know, the music industry.
I think you mean AI-driven.
AI? No, AR as well.
Augmented reality. Though.
Yeah. That's what big AR is massive. Bigger than VR, you know? So AR adverts.
AR adverts.
Yeah, you get AR. I mean, I'll put a clip somewhere. There's a little video of which Bidge Stacks are highlighted. But someone's done a sort of a version of what it could be like in the future when you got to these glasses or something. You go to the street and you get little chops poking out little adverts, and you switch them off if you want. Or going to the supermarket and you can have the goggles on or trolley, and they'll have little, you know, the labels on things will come out to you with special offers and AR and all that stuff. Yeah, so a massive sort of market. Yeah. Oh yeah. Anyway, that's good. So any what's your observations this week, guys, you've had from the stock market? Any thoughts on company stocks, people, shirts, trousers?
Well, it's been a very good buoyant week, hasn't it?
April.
Lovely. I dipped my little toe into Brave Bison.
Oh, I think that's illegal, actually.
And then I got arrested.
How brave was he after that?
You alerted us to it last week.
Well, this is what happened. This is what happened, right? A Brave Bison was, you know, when I started, I've always said, you know, on the podcast, I've been criticised for it, but resource stocks to leverage the global growth, you know, and that growth is seemingly slowing down. People say with a 10-year cycle, and so that's why resource stocks are hard work at the moment. Oil and gas are hard work. Before, you'd have, you know, companies rallying towards a spud. These days, it's not happening. They're quite underperforming, most of the companies, you know. And so I've switched to go to look to tech, and I thought, I'm sick of placings anyway. I want to find companies that don't need to do placings, and I want to find companies that are generating cash and becoming self-sustaining, you know. And basically, you can hold them for years rather than weeks. And one of those ones was, you know, Brave Bison. I looked at that. The Clay Hungate, the CEO, was turning it around. They had their first ever year of cash generative or cash generation after 9 years, pretty much disappointing since they've been listed. And they were valued about, what, 15 million? I think they were at one point, they had 5 million in the bank. And then so the results came out and massive selling went on. I thought, what's going on? You know, I did say to a fellow holder on Twitter, I said, I expect the TR1 to come out. You know, this is a notification from a major shareholder selling down here. And then the next day, it did. I didn't expect it to be the CFO of a company. You know, actually, the guy in charge of the numbers and the finances. That is not a good sign. I just dumped my stock. And that's why, you know, other people started selling as well. And that's why the stock went from 3.6 pence, I think, down to 1.8, you know. Then Clay Hungate resigned. The CEO turned it round. I thought, that is not good. So I contacted her on LinkedIn. I said, Clay, should investors be worried here? And she said, my resigning has got nothing to do with the health of the business. So maybe a personal, maybe a boardroom fight, you know, a headbutt or something like that, or, you know. Some of that,
right?
Really,
brave fight, like a Brave Bison.
Yeah,
like,
well, I don't know what it was, but maybe
a headbutt. This is how rumors start.
Yeah, I think Claire headbutted the bison out in the boardroom.
Right, what?
Yeah, they've got a real bison. It's you know, I advise against
it. Brave.
Yeah, exactly. She actually turned out to be braver than the bison. But essentially the business is fine, and yet they got someone else coming in. Kate Burns is the name of this lady, who's got a stellar CV, probably arguably better than Clay. Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? It's very subjective. But she was the first lady employed by Google outside of Europe. She then headed up the, what is it called?
Outside of Europe.
The first lady.
Yeah, the first lady. Kate has a wealth of experience. I'm not reading this. It's up top of my head. Within the digital content and publishing industry. And is currently venture partner at Hambro Perks. So it's a venture capital company. She's in that sort of money, access to money, an investment firm. Kate also had a range of roles during her 6 years at the company and was her first employee outside the United States. Rising to regional director for the UK, Ireland, and Benelux. Before joining Hambro Perks, Kate was CEO of AOL Europe, following which she joins BuzzFeed as the European General Manager. So she's in the right area, isn't she? I mean, you know, social media, that's what this about Brave Bison. And so I quite like her track record. So she's now CEO. And so I jumped back in. It was oversold on the chart. The RSI was down below 30. I thought, I'm going to get back in here. I just think it's been sold off on a bit of rumour. We don't know what's going on. But it seems as long as the business at its heart is good, and if you notice, it's, you know, it's Kate and Sir Robin Miller, the non-executive chairman, and Pete Marshall, non-executive director, all bought stock after she was appointed. It was a massive amount. She bought 10 grand, I think. He bought, he bought the 30 grand, non-exec. And the chairman, Sir Robin, 4 million. What's 4 million times one bet? He bought 40 grand's worth, did he? No, it's not bad. So he checked a bit, they lumped a bit of stock in just to, it's more a sort of a formal sort of recognition, and it wasn't not a huge amount. What do you say when something's just not substantial, but it's just a measure of something, goodwill, really? What's the word I'm looking for?
A gesture.
They all bought 10 grand each, actually. Robin does have 4 million.
That's all right.
I think Brave Bison now, and it's rallied strongly last couple of days, which is quite nice. I don't know, the rumour got round that it was fine, and it's rallied strongly. So I'm happy with that. I think, are you in, pal? Pad, are you in Brave Bison?
No, I couldn't get into the app, so I forgot about it, to be honest.
Place an order.
What app?
On the H&L app, because I'm doing lots of work in my house at the moment, my fingerprints have worn down, so I can't get into the app.
That's good for crime, though. If you commit a crime, they can't do the prints.
That's really annoying.
Yeah.
And that for some reason, that app is really particularly, gives you like two chances, and that's it, and you're locked out. And all the other apps just seem to get over it after a while.
That's Harry and Larry, that is, though. Because they're not, you know, Harry and Larry, they're not
so pedantic.
Get an app. Oh, Harry, you got an app now. Have you got an app? Oh, Harry, yeah, we've got an app. Oh, yeah,
you can open it with your fingerprint.
What if someone rips it off? Well, don't give them too many chances. If someone's in there trying to get in there and they haven't got the right fingerprint, you'd lock them out. Or we'll add that red tech.
Someone might chop someone's finger off and take that finger with their phone and open it and nick all our money.
I've often thought that. But, you know, when you get to the state where, you know, it's eyeball technology and all that stuff, we'll just put, you know, crime bosses, crime lords, just pull your eyeball out, wouldn't they? Just crack on. They wouldn't care. If it was your eyeball, between you and your eyeball getting into a bank vault with, like, you know, a billion pounds worth of gold, they'd just pull your eyeball out, wouldn't they?
Probably. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the thing is, films, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There'd be an eyeball and a finger.
Minority Report.
Oh, is it? Yeah, an eyeball and a finger. That's all I didn't take. Let's walk to the bank with eyeball and finger, and you're in.
Sorry, Pat, that happened in the Minority Report.
Yeah, I think so, didn't it?
Well, they
used eyes to scan into the building or something.
I don't think they pulled someone's eyes out, did they?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was in a bag.
So you got a bag of eyeballs.
Bag.
You got a bag of eyeballs, right, and a bag of fingers. You get them all mixed up. You know, you'd have to label them correctly. Yeah, you'd have to label them correctly. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. You imagine trying to get into a bank and you get the wrong eyeball, wrong finger combination, and just rummaging through the bag there full of eyeballs. That'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Oh, it's one of these eyeballs. Which one is it? Why did you put so many eyeballs in here? I don't know. It's only one eyeballs. So Brave Bison, I think it's, you know, a sustainable business there. You know, the biggest publisher on Facebook.
I'll wait for a down day. Now I know it's good.
Do you see? We can't mention bids, can we? Bids. I genuinely think bids will be 100 bagger.
100 bagger.
No, it'll be a pound stock.
100 bagger. That is the best ramp you've ever put.
That's what Alan Green said on the podcast. Like, calm down, Al. Alan Green says things on the top of his head like that. It makes me laugh. And he said,
"Well, he said that about Bidstack."
You know, yeah. He says things. I didn't want to discourage him, but he did say it. But a couple of things he says that I said, "Al, you can't say that." And he'll say things like, "Alan will say something like, and I think this is an investment that's got no risk whatsoever." I said, "Al, you can't say that." He said, no, he said, no, there's risk, yes, but there's very little risk. It's risk, Al, because it's a small cap, it's got no money, they've got no revenue, and they're like, you know, it's a questionable technology they've got there, you know, so, yeah, well, there's a little bit...
You're not talking about Bidstack.
No, he's talking about those companies in blockchain. It's like valued at 2 million with no money, no cash, no revenue. He said, and at this level, there's absolutely no risk whatsoever. I said, no, there is, Al. They haven't really got a business. That's their risk. So, but
we're obviously on the podcast this week. I'll have to listen.
No, I don't know what you said about saying. Yeah, you're on the podcast every week, Al. But I do like him. But he says it without even thinking about it. And I just correct him sometimes. I was reining back in. But with Bidstack, you said 100.
Alan Breed's on the podcast every week. I really
have missed. Yeah, yeah. He said 100 bagger. He said about Bidstack. He doesn't even hold stock. Fair play. He's ramping it, but he doesn't hold any stock in the company. But listen, I see it getting to a pound, not easily, but I think it'll get to a pound. I just think 200 million market cap. For this company, compared to the other tech 10 baggers that have happened, which have gone to 200 million, this has got a lot more potential. The signing this week, I mean, what's his name? Did you see the signing this week? His name was Will Casoy. Introducing Will Casoy. And amazing background to the advisory committee. He led Ad Colony, right, from pre-revenue to a $350 million takeout in 3 years. And Ad Colony was recognised as Inc. 500's list of the fastest growing companies, private companies, in America for 2 years consecutively. He also, prior to Ad Colony, he was with Activation Blizzard, Global Brand Management, Senior Vice President. He worked on growing $3 billion video game franchises. That is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Guitar Hero, Call of Duty. This is a man well connected in the gaming industry and advertising. He also, before that, as if you know, Activation Blizzard, massive in gaming. Before that, you know, as if you couldn't do any better, he worked for Walt Disney Company. You may have heard of those. It's a Mickey Mouse outfit. But he worked on successful games, including Aladdin, Lion King, Toy Story, which you've heard of course. I mean, this guy, phenomenal track record, isn't he? And yet, why would he be joining what, you know, in America, you wouldn't have companies hardly this, they wouldn't even be probably listed, you know, the size of Bidstack. But yet now we've got people from Spotify, you know, people from Sega, Nintendo, from the trade desk, all joining Bidstack.
When do we hear some more, when's the next opportunity to hear how the business is doing?
Exactly. Well, listen, I just think genuinely what's going to happen next is they're going to announce probably a new game or a new platform, programmatic platform. Once they're on a new big at the trade desk, hopefully. And once they're on one of those platforms, the revenue will be ramping up like crazy. So, end of December, so the half years will be, it's the 30th of June. They have to report that within 3 months, interims within 3 months. So it could be, you know, October, November, September. So you won't see any final sort of financial stuff until September, probably. But they did say in their finals that they are getting tech ready first, and the revenue will be back end weighted, because I'm assuming, because when they had to go on the DSPs, no one's ever done this before. No one's ever had native in-game advertising on these programmatic platforms. So that they create this sort of category menu. They've gone to the International Advertising Bureau as well, sort this out. So once they're on one and it's working correctly and smoothly, which they are on, they're on two now actually, but they're not massive ones. But once they're on these two and it's working smoothly, then they can just basically scale out to a few others, and then it'll be fill, you know, overnight, just earning cash. Ding, 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 non-stop. So, yeah, listen, I say a pound. It'll be a pound. It'll be a pound within a year, you know?
You heard it first, folks.
Yeah. No risk whatsoever. Don't bother doing your own research. Just get in there, mortgage the house, borrow as much money from as many friends and family you know, even strangers if they give you money, and just whack it on the Bidstack. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. You know, do your own research. Everything carries risk. And
and then do that.
Yeah, put the farm on it. Put someone else's farm on it. I'm quite bullish about Bidstack, you probably tell.
No, are you?
Really?
But I was at the start.
I hold stock in that company.
Let me just tell you something, right? I've never seen momentum like this. It's done 400%, right, since the start of the year. It's 400%, and it's
now,
no 400%. It's come back what, 10-15%. That's all it's come back. It's normally that this means it's going on. You wait till news drops. Oil and gas companies do this, right? They come back about 50% within a day. Honestly, this spike. That's why you have to get out of them. This is not doing that, and it won't, because it's revenue generating. You don't have to go to the market to raise money. This is not doing that. I've seen this. It'll consolidate. May take a couple of weeks, right? They'll drop news and it'll fly again. I've been looking at the chart of this and looking at the chart of Vesarion and EVRH. Exactly the same. They've gone up strongly. They come back a little bit. They have to. The sellers, profit takers, there's someone selling down right now. There's a major institution selling down and it's moved down, what, 10, 15%? That's nothing. It's done 400%. This will go like crazy, honestly. I've seen this before. There's very little stock out there. You know, James, the owner, the CEO, owns 20%. There's very little stock out there. Once you get the right news, this will go like nuts. Crazy. Crazy. I've been scaling in. Do you know what I've been doing? I've been buying little bits. Every 5% drop, I've got an order in, fills. Order in, fills. And it's a nice way of taking the emotion out of it, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Talking of the podcast and proving that I do listen to some of them that you record, one that I listened to last week was after the podcast we recorded, I went back and listened to the one with Neformix.
Do you know what, Peter? It's like you are teaming up. I've got a list of stocks here, right? And I got Bids, Brave Bison. Next one on the list isn't Neformix. So it's like you've
read
my script.
I've read the script. I was very impressed with him, very impressed with the.
He's a lovely guy, Dan. Dr. Dan is a lovely guy.
Lovely guy.
He's got a lovely bedside manner. Okay. Lovely.
Right.
Did you
record it in bed?
Yeah, well, he's a doctor. He's Dr. Dan. Right. So he insists on coming round and just taking my pulse while we're doing the podcast.
Sorry?
But it's putting a thermometer under my tongue.
He's like, I'm not a cat.
I'll try to turn around, Dan, because the mic's a little wrong. Neformix, I messed up on my. I did a video of it last week, right? And I messed up a little bit. These, Alex. Do you know anything about Neuformix, pal?
Why do you keep calling me pal?
Pal. What do you know about Neuformix, pal?
Who teamed up with the Germans?
No, that's Hemogenix.
Oh right, then no.
Let me tell you, Neuformix is very clever, right? Because the biggest risk to biotech companies, the biggest risk of all, is taking a new drug, finding a new drug molecule, and take this through preclinical, then phase 1, 2, and 3, which is the most expensive. They're called clinical. So it's preclinical, and it goes into clinic where you test it on humans. So you do a sample size. If phase 1, you taste a bit of safety and efficacy, and then you ramp it up. Then you got to do more, bigger trials. It costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time, and you need millions and millions and millions to get through. And even then, only 5% of new drugs get to phase 3 commerciality. Right? So high risk. But if it works, again, explosive, upside in the stock. It's a bit like oil and gas like that. But it's quite binary, it's odds are against. It's like high impact oil drills, very high risk. The difference with Neuformix is this. They don't come up with new drugs. They look at drugs that have already been pre-approved, and there's generic forms of them, sort of off-patent sort of thing, and they re-engineer them. They're called co-crystal technology. So what they do is they get the active part of the drug, which is the bit of the drug that helps the disease, whatever it is, and say it's traditionally used intravenously, this drug. So it's injected and it works like that. They will say, okay, listen, this could be a drug that could be absorbed orally, but it has to be adjusted because at the moment the drug doesn't work orally. You have to readjust it in some way. So they'll attach some kind of inactive ingredient that will help it be absorbed orally by the stomach, or even if you rub it on skin as a cream, for example. So first and foremost, this drug has passed all the safety tests already, so it doesn't matter. They're not changing the properties of the drug. All they're doing is the way it's applied. So they basically they do a couple of tests on humans, and they license it out, which they've done with this drug now. NXP1 is their lead drug.
Yeah, it's catchy title, I thought.
It is. And they've got NXP2 as well, and NXP3. But NXP1 is for nausea. It's oncology, so cancer. People who have chemotherapy have nausea and vomiting and all that. So it's aftercare for that. So apparently it's given intravenously, but now they've re-engineered it, so it's orally. So a massive market, cancer, massive market. A lot of people suffer with this nausea. They've already done a deal with a Chinese company, and how it works is this Chinese company give them upfront payments to take them through the trials, and so it's not a lot. It's about 2.5 million they've given them. They've had 500,000 first in milestone payments. So every little test they pass, they get paid a milestone payment. So they've had 2 million. They've had sort of 500,000. They're going to have 2 million. The final data results in these trials are coming up in this half this year. They'll be paid 2 million for that. Then they'll be paid 10% royalty on anything they sell in China. That company, it's a big company in China. So you imagine all the people in China, you know. So you say, but also then they get to market it to the rest of the world. So you can imagine China's population is, you know, 1.5 billion, about 7 billion in the world. So the milestone payments from that will be probably triple, you know, the China one. And they get royalty payments. That's not all. So first of all, they get, you know, milestone payments. And all the cost of the clinical trials is in there now anyway. So the upfront payments they get from the rest of the world will be just straight to the bottom line. But secondly, they get these royalty payments when these companies make sales, so they'll have constant revenue coming in. So that's their lead drug. They've got NXP2, which is testing very well. They've just had a deal with a Canadian company on cannabinoid stuff, yes, which they got milestone payments up to £51 million and 20% royalty, which is and that's quicker to market because it's not as high risk, that drug. So it's very clever. So it's very low risk. It's a lot cheaper because you're going to spend time testing it on lots of humans, and it's very fast to market. And this test they're doing at the moment, it's like, it's so low risk. All they have to do, so when you're doing testing, you have to do a test against a placebo and normally the benchmark drug as well. That's the standard. So that's all they have to do at the moment, is test against the benchmark drug. And they don't have to prove whether the drug works or not. It's been tested on healthy humans. Now normally when you're testing a drug, it'll be tested on people that need that drug. It's not. It's been tested on healthy humans. All they have to prove is that the drug is absorbed in a different way, like orally, I think, to 80% of the benchmark drug. So as long as it's absorbed, it's fine. It'll go on, it's commercial. So it's one of the lowest risks, you know, trials you can ever have. Straight through that, then straight to market. Don't go through any more trials. That's it. And so I like it a lot. And you know, the guys hold, Dr. Dan holds sort of close to 9%. All the board holds stock. It's pretty much, I think 70% is held up, is tied up the stock. So it's a very low float. So, you know, a bit of good news, it'll fly. Plus they got, you know, NXP2, NXP3, a cannabinoid thing, but NXP1, NXP1 is the thing that's basically, if the data comes out and it's all good before H1, then, you know, it's a multiple value trigger.
Yeah, so that's coming out in the next month about NXP1, isn't it? Right.
And it's everything from, not only get they get 2 million, they'd also get royalty payments starting to come through. So it validates their business, you know, business model and what they're doing. And then I think you'll get a lot more interest in them from other companies then when they.
What's the potential negative? So are those trials and the news comes out next month that it's not as good as they hoped or as good as it.
Well, first of all, I think it's going to be fine because they've sort of tested it on they've done early tests and they've had good results on it. But in the earlier tests, they've come out with apparently, I don't know what it is, but they say there may be even more potential. If the data is very good, there's even more potential to do further tests for more applications and more disease on this drug. But I don't know. I think it's quite low risk. It's only about absorption. Yeah. It's only about absorption. And
Dr. Dan sounded very bullish, as he would, I know, obviously. But it was very interesting. The whole move into the cannabis. How would you say it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's cannabinoid. I know it's cannabinoid.
That's it.
It's cannabinoid.
Sort of proves like the world is their oyster. Really, they can move their tech across.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't say the word cannabinoid either on the podcast with him. I just rushed through it. I said strategic cannabinoid.
Cannabinoid. Yes, that's it. Cannabinoid.
But there are 51 million upfront potential R&D and milestone payments, plus long-term royalties of 20% net sales.
So I've dipped into an FX this week as well.
What you'll see with companies' shares that are tightly held, you'll see them moving on very little volume. And this will go up and down crazy on a couple of bit of volume. Like today, it went down 6.4%. Mm. In fact, PAD, right now, 3p, it gapped up on that cannabinoid news recently. But if you can buy around 3% or lower, I think, the trial is coming up. There's a binary outcome. It's a lot lower risk than normal, you know, biotech trials. But nevertheless, you know, it will gap up. If they release good results, it'll gap up. So you could either play it, wait until it gaps up, if it is good news, and let it come back a bit, and you know, maybe chase it a bit, whatever. Or you could put a tiny bit in now and then realise, hang on, I find I always like to put a little bit in first, I know, before the results. And
I've
then,
heard this.
Yeah, and if it gaps up then, at least once you're in, you don't mind, you're a bit more patient, you know, because you're in
just
anyway.
Slip a little bit in to start with, and then see how it feels.
Exactly.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why gently. My fingerprints regrow, of course.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't get into Harry and Larry.
Yeah.
You could go old school and use the website.
Oh, there's so many boxes to fill in. It gives me a headache.
Yeah.
Or you could just call him up. Harry, but he turned around and said, "The phone's ringing, Harry. What? It will do it on the internet now, doesn't he? Hello?
Bloody hell, who's that? Oh, it's Paddy.
He wants to buy some shares. Don't copy Steve and buy like 10 pence, will you?
Yeah. Hello, Paddy.
Can I guess what's next on your list, Justin?
Yeah,
okay. Say again.
Can I guess what's next on your list?
Go on.
Zeros.
Well, I'm actually doing alphabetical, so there's one more before that, and it's under the name of P.
Powerhouse.
Oh, yes. Yes. So they signed the first revenue-generating contract. This is a long-term play. I know you quite like this idea, Pat, but again, it's got the momentum of regulation behind it, you know? It's turning stuff we don't want, plastics, into energy, what we want, what we need. And so...
To be honest, it sounds like an absolute load of... Oh, I was going to swear.
Nonsense.
Completely unbelievable that they could be able to turn car tyres into anything useful.
Well, I know, but listen...
Car tyres are useful.
Yeah, exactly. Car tyre crumb. It sounds
literally like snake oil, doesn't it? This doesn't sound
but,
like
no, but hang
it's
on, people do this, people do this. People, it's gasification. So, you know, do you know what makes up car tyres? It's all about the consistent parts, isn't it? The parts... What the constituent parts of any substance?
Constituent
cannabinoids. Yeah, but listen, if you look what's in tires, we all know what's in them.
No, I get it. This is why I'm excited about it.
I don't know what's in them, but I mean, you know, plastic. There's oils and is a potent. There's energy being put into that to make that stuff, so you can extract the energy by gasifying it. They take the temperature up to like 1200 degrees within seconds. They gas. And then they use that gas to, syngas, to generate power and energy. But one of these things, I was looking at the presentation today, actually, one of these distributed modular gasification units will be generating about 3.4, let me look what it is, 3.4 million, I think it was. So that's one of them. I asked David on the podcast, you were on the podcast Friday, have a listen. David, the new CEO, he's not as good a talker as Keith. Keith could talk, couldn't he? Bloody hell.
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus.
I like Keith.
they said, right, one of these would generate a total of £3.4 million per annum. That's one of them. I said, how many do you intend to have? What's practical in the UK? He said, 500. I said, what? 500? So, I mean, that's nuts, isn't it? Because go on, do the maths on that, Pete. Yeah, times 500 equals... That's
500 times what?
That's 1.7 billion revenue in the UK. So, you know, that's a lot, isn't it? Considering it's a sub-10 million market cap company. That's pipe dreams. I mean, that's syngas pipe dreams. But even if you get to, say, let's take it to 100, you know, that's 340 million. So, you know... So
each of these modules is one of the things that... change the car type.
Yeah, so what's unique about this is they call distributed modular gasification units. This means you basically, they're probably container size or two container sizes. It'll do 25 tons of waste a day. And you've parked them on waste sites. So you put them on waste sites, it can generate power there. So for the waste site, it can generate heat, cooling. It can generate hydrogen, which they're going for, because hydrogen, they can get £5 per kilogram, at £5 per kilogram, it's £5,000 a day on the hydrogen, but they get steam and hot water from it as well, and also, power to the grid from it. So they'll just put these in areas where they generate lots of waste, even incinerate the plants, and they can move them around, you know, so distributed. If you've got
so this
more,
goes back to what we were talking about at the start, wasn't it, about how you can see an opportunity out of these technologies.
Yeah, exactly, and regulations behind it, you know, regulations behind it, and that was Zeros as well, like the Zeros. Have you, people don't know about Zeros. I said the opportunity with Zeros, again, you've got to look at milestones and dates. And Zeros results are coming out on the 29th of April. It's an amazing company. The tech is not questionable. It's been commercially proven right now, but they've gone through years of R&D and heavy spend of capital intensive, you know, spending on this to get through the R&D stage. Literally, and people have, sort of shareholders, I'm a shareholder, people have argued with me saying, no, it won't sell off on the results. I said, it will sell off because this. In the first 6 months of last year, right, they've burned £12.8 million, right? They're worth 25, 26 million? Oh, yeah. So if they carried on doing that for the entire year, they'd have burned, they would have lost their entire value in a year. You know, that's a lot, isn't it, really? You know, you think about it. And they have been burning that kind of cash. Luckily, they've got a big backer in Woodford, who's star fund manager. He's backed them from all the way from the top to the bottom. I don't know how long he keeps stepping up the plate, but they have started to commercialise their tech. And like I said, at the moment, you know, Powerhouse Energy is not quite there, but Zeros is. And basically, it's saved water in washing machines. They've got a filter that cuts out plastic pollution. But they've done it with, they've signed up with massive Chinese washing machine producers, OEMs, original, you know, equipment manufacturers, the biggest domestic manufacturer in China, the biggest commercial washing machine manufacturer in China. Doesn't get bigger than that, does it? This one sells like 13 million washing machines a year. So they've done deals with both those. So the revenue's only starting to come through this year for that. But that will not be in the 2018 financial results because they've only just started, the revenue started coming through. So the cash burn will still be high. People say, well, how much cash they got? If they got a lot of cash and their share price drops, and I can see that their cash burn has gone down from pretty much £2 million a month, which it was in the first 6 months of 2018. If it goes down to, say, half, then they'll probably have enough cash for another year, and they probably won't need to raise again because they'll be generating revenue. They've also done a deal with the biggest tanner. When I say tanner, I don't mean a lady who goes to tanning machines. I mean people who do leather and all that stuff, tanning leather. They use a phenomenal amount of water tanners, and they can cut down an 80% of that. And also, it's not just about cutting down water. The garment is treated better as well, so it doesn't lose its colour. And it in talks with apparently a very big denim and clothing manufacturer. And if you look at the stats on how much water cotton uses, production and denim uses, massive. So they can save these companies money and they can help the product as well. So
I've been watching them. I'm not invested. But the share price has been up and down like a yo-yo, hasn't it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of sellers there, but I think we've seen a bottom. I bought it. I talked about it on water and all that stuff, and it went down 40% within a week. Then I bought some more at 6p or something like that, and it's shot up to 12p. So I was back to sort of break even. So I'm still at that level now. But I genuinely think this is a phenomenal story. We all know it's going this way. Water reduction, even in China, apparently, they put the price of water up to stop people using so much. But they've done deals in the Middle East because Middle East in water, obviously, desalination is very expensive. But around the world, there's a water supply problem. So we know, it's the environment and regulatory pressure is on the side of this company. Not only that, they've got a cracking product. Their product is very good. And in fact, even this week, let me just look it up. Their Hydrofinity is their brand, their washing machine brand. And this week, where was it? TDS Commercial won a large spa contract. This is a company who's used their tech. And and they said in this, it's in London, they do spas. There's a reason why they got this company, they do spa towels and all this stuff. They said the spa towels come better before when they were working with someone else who's using their washing these spa towels. They couldn't get the colour in properly. This company using Hydrofinity, it's got the colour back and the fluffiness back, and they use less water as well. So
what a relief.
Yeah. Look at that. So Hydrofinity machine uses up to 80% less water than conventional machines in just 6 months. TDS, which is this laundry service, commercial laundry, have saved over 1 million litres of water. This is enough to last an adult in the UK 18 years. That is phenomenal. And not only that, the results are better as well. So it's win-win for everyone, isn't it? Win-win-win-win-win,
Yes.
To add to the impressive savings, this equates to over 9K savings, £9,000 savings and 35,000 kilowatts of electricity. So, I just think the tech is brilliant. It's performing. It works as commercial. It saves money, saves water. Everyone's going that direction, or every government. So this will be massive. It just will take, I think, we've got to get through this bumpy results at the end of this month. If it dips, I'm buying in. But I'll check the cash balance first. If they have enough cash balance to last them, 6 months or something, 12 months, 6 months is probably enough, actually. And I think it'll go on Look at the share price, gone from like £3 down to £6. And I think it could head towards
on this one, if it results come out and it dips, you'll buy. On the Formix, if it's it might gap up because of results, and then you'll still buy even though it's gapped up.
Yeah, well, both of those I've got a toe hold in. I've got no much more than that, you know. And so if it takes a knock on one of them, okay, that's the thing. But I still see. I don't think I'll be very surprised if the results are bad from Formix, because they've done, you know, earlier trials have gone very well so far. And like I said, they're not testing the drug. The drug is not in question. Safety and efficacy of the drug's been done by somebody else, been passed. It's passed.
If it does drop, will you buy more there? And like,
well, no, I want to see that. No, because I want to see if, because that validates the whole sort of business, you know. So I want to see what's gone wrong, really. So I wouldn't jump back in straight away there. No. But on Xeros, I'll jump in if I see they've got enough cash. But because normally, because they'll come out with a big loss figure, because of course we already know that H1 they lost 12.8 million. Now what they lost in the second half of 2018. But these are historical results. This company's changed so fast, and 2019 is a transformational year. Then when they are going to commerciality, they're going from R&D to commerciality. That going forward is good anyway. We know that they've got some massive contracts happening. We know it's good, you know. But how much have they lost? That's all I want to see. How much money have they lost? Have they got enough cash to sustain them for the next 6 months? Because that's all they need, pretty much. I think 6 to 12 months, that's pretty much all they need, you know? So, it's all about the cash burn there. I'm not questioning the business model. It's there. It's done. It's a sound business model by the sound looks of it. With NFX, this data validates the business model. That's the difference, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I've cut down on my funds, by the way. Last thing I'm going to talk about funds. You only need two funds, essentially. One income fund, one capital growth. So I've got my income fund. Oh, I've also got a water fund as well. But I've got my income fund, which is the Dividend UKID, which is a dividend-paying fund. And the capital growth fund is NASDAQ 100. But I haven't put a lot in that yet because, of course, we're at the top of the cycle. I'll only buy that on massive dips and big sell-offs. And I'll keep doing that every time it does that. I covered that in the video. I don't know if you saw that. But you'd achieve like over 1,000% over 20-odd years if you just bought on the oversold nature. But that's the top of the cycle. So that's just capital growth. You don't get dividends with that. So you've got to buy that when the price is right. And at the moment, the other one, income, the price is right. The IUKD dividend one, that's an income fund. So that'll pay you income. And at the moment, it's paying decent income because the share price is quite low. So that's a good time to buy that. But at the moment, it's not a good time to buy the other one. Because the NASDAQ 100 is flying a bit. They're not far off there. The NASDAQ now is not far off its highs, and the S&P. So, all-time highs. So, obviously, not a good time to buy that. But
so, the IUKD one, that's the BlackRock.
That's BlackRock. And they pay quarterly dividends, and the next dividend cut-off is about June the 14th. So, as long as you're in before that, you get the first quarterly dividend, you know? But that's the kind of thing I want to buy every quarter.
Yeah. On Harry and Larry, it's not that easy to find it. Is what I found.
Isn't it?
Well, the funds list, and it's actually, you've got to.
But the tickers, are you putting the ticker in?
The ticker
is IUKD, it's ticker. That's on TradingView charts, so, you know, I can just type in IUKD and it's a chart, exactly the same as share, because it's an ETF, which means it's an exchange traded fund, so it's traded like a share, exactly the same as a share. So, it's good to be buying that fund right now. It's not going to be buying the NASDAQ fund right now because that's too high, and that's a capital growth one. You want to buy that on big dips, but it's good to buy the other one because it's quite low.
Oh yeah, that's it. I remember now. I was looking in funds. Oh, he called me stupid, but that's a logical place to go and look, isn't it? And
Have they got a separate section for ETFs? Are they?
Well, no. In shares, it's in the shares.
Oh, so is it? Yeah, okay, yeah.
So you look at it as, that was it, there it is.
On Barclays, it is in funds, it's under funds, because essentially, you know, an exchange-traded fund is a fund, isn't it?
Yeah, Harry and Larry. In McLean. Hey, Harry, where did you put this?
Yeah, it's a share, that is, Harry.
Yeah.
Look, you see, it's like a share. Put that in your share.
It was fund, isn't it?
No, it's a share. Well, put it in both.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right.
No, it'll confuse people. Take it out of funds, put it in shares. All right, Harry.
It's got iShares at the front, so it must be a share.
It's a share. Yeah, put that in there, right?
Yeah,
lovely.
Okay,
it's in there. Force it in there. Lovely. That won't confuse people. All right, yeah.
Wait, pub.
Anything else?
No, I don't know.
Europa.
No. Oh, yes. This is coming Europa. I'm out of that. And I love innocent.
And so am I.
Let me just say something. They qualify before. Last week on the podcast, I think Steve said to me, you were this enthusiastic about Europa Oil and Gas. And I didn't get to the point why, or Europa Metals, I mean. And I didn't get the point why I was bullish and I thought it would be a 10-bagger. At the time, you know, it had a market cap of sub, what, 3 million when we first started investing. I think about 2.5, closer to 2 than 3. And there's this asset in Spain, a good jurisdiction, you know, in a mining area of Spain. So there wouldn't be any problem with regulation. Which I thought would have triple-digit, you know, NPV, which it does, but I thought it would be higher than it is now. And all I need to do is raise funds and develop this along the curve of, you know, of scoping study or pre-feasibility study, feasibility study, and, you know, it would have no problem getting to a 30 million market cap. You know, no, it shouldn't have had, should it really? And they messed up with the pre-feasibility study. There was no sort of figures in it whatsoever, which took the momentum out of it completely. Then they were lacking funds. Then there was a worry about raising funds. Again, the share price went down on the raising of funds. They couldn't raise funds because the share price had gone down too far. And then people were sort of worried, though, they need more funds now. So it was a self-fueling cycle, and the value generation was taken out of it, momentum was sitting out. So I got out. I think I was close to 100% on that. I remember getting out when I said to Steve, it's Riley, Steve, I'm close enough to 100%. I'm about 97 or 90, I think either 94, 94, 97%. Up, so I sold, and the majority of it, I think I held a little bit left in there, but I sold the majority double. And a lot of people didn't sell, a lot of people got, you know, wrecked on it, wasted. Steve did, I know, yeah, Pad did, yeah. And but this week, surprise, isn't it? In the placing, I noticed the share price hadn't gone up. But this German guys, they like it, they're Spain, a nice place for holidays, and they take 15%, yeah, or close to 15% of the stock. So there's a private equity company there buying up, you know, and I think genuinely, if they have access to funds, this is a cheap company. EUZ is a cheap company, considering the asset they've got there in Spain, nice jurisdiction. What's the market cap at the moment? And how much did they raise? They raised about $1 million, didn't they? Let's have a look.
Market cap says.
Oh, hang on, this can't be right, because it's not sub 1 million, is it? So, because fundraise, I'm looking at the. Let's look at the total shares will be 11 billion. Wow. 11 billion shares. What's the price? Oh, yeah, no. So, is there anyone here? Yeah, look. So, 11 billion times 0.00155. So they're 1.8 million market cap, and they've got an NPV. What was the NPV? Have they released the figures yet? They don't have them. And their thing, scope of study economics, and the mark. And their NPV is $110 million. So to me, that is cheap. They need access to funds. You've got the backdrop now of slowing global growth, which makes it a bit bearish for resource stocks. But to me, listen, I genuinely think I'm not in resource stocks, but I genuinely think there's upside there. You know, plenty of upside. Let's be honest, this could double, triple, couldn't it? Quite easily, with a bit of volume. They've got the money now. I don't see why they can't.
Still be massively down.
Yeah, are you massively down that? But I think it'll rally. Well, no, but once you get momentum into a stock, it'll start going then, you know? I think the disappointment is that the management haven't taken, you know, skin in the game. The difference between this and, like I say...
I think the problem with these guys now is that even if there's a bit of momentum, with those guys still in charge and still running it the way they have been, there's always going to be the nagging doubt now with investors. They've managed to rid it of its old reputation with the name change and with the new ideas that they were having, and then they've just gone straight back again. And I think investors are just going to be sick of this one, aren't they?
Yeah, the only thing, the only thing that would help this now or change the sentiment on this was Lawrence and Miles taking a big chunk of skin in the game. Yeah. In my opinion, that would say, listen, we believe in this project, you know, and I'm talking, you know, 20, 30 grand each putting into it, you know, in a nice chunk in there, you know. So putting their money where their mouth is, nothing speaks like that. And again, I'm bullish on Beatstack for different reasons, like I say, but not because we're just cheap, because I see massive potential. I also see James Drape, the CEO, having 20% skin in the game. That says a lot to me, you know, and also they're connected with all kinds of big companies, and it's the future. But I just think, you know, yeah, Europa Metals is cheap, I think, at the moment. It is. It could double in a blink of an eye. So, I know you're down. I would hold in there now if you're a big loss, because once it starts to double... Don't forget momentum. People jump out too quick. I've seen people on Twitter this week saying, I wish I hadn't jumped out so quickly in that. Don't forget momentum. I've seen people jumping out of Bidstack. And I think, are you nuts? People have congratulated me saying, well done on Bidstack. He's done very well. I think, hang on. You haven't seen the start of this yet. You wait. You wait and watch momentum. We haven't seen the start of this big kick-up. I just had to look at the charts of EVRH and VRS, and this has got a lot more potential, I think. But yeah, once the momentum starts, Pat, so don't, you know, I mean, don't rush to take a small profit. I think the thing is, Pat, I don't think most people will, because I think most people are so far down on it now, they'll just hold in there, because it doesn't make a lot of difference. So hopefully.
Do you, though, or do you think that any chance of getting a tiny bit higher up than where they are, they'll just try and cash out?
Well, I think.
It just feels like it's going to be every time there's a little improvement, suddenly everyone's going to go, cool, I'll take that now.
Well, I tell you what's on the line here, and he must value it a little bit, is his reputation, Lawrence, I think. He has to try and claw that back, you know? And hopefully he will try and do something here. And because, let's be honest, you're only as good as your last project. And, you know...
It'd be great if he would, like, spell check his updates as well, maybe. That would be a nice touch.
Yeah. Nice little touch. Skin in the game and spell check. That's it.
Spell check.
Lawrence, just two things. Like, two things, yeah. Skin the game, like a little, spell check.
Just make yourself look vaguely professional.
Yeah. Lovely. All right, then. Right, I'm going to watch David Attenborough now. You know, after he arranged that massive protest in London, it's really got me going. I really want to see it. And fair play to him. I don't know how you get those people together, but they are... fair play to them. They are sticking to what they believe in. They do not wash by the looks of them, do they? They're saving water. And so,
well, Paddy was there. You're talking about Paddy.
Exactly.
Oh. My nephew made a sign and he sang a song and he got everyone chanting.
Did he? You must be so embarrassed to have that person in part of your family.
I thought I was pretty proud, to be honest.
what song did he sing? Come on. No, I saw those people there.
It wasn't a good song.
And they were fake dancing, fake good time, and it really was fake. Just trying to pretend
it was
a good time.
It was genuinely inspiring. And it was, you know, as someone who's grown up in London, you don't tend to see people smiling on the streets very often. And there were commuters getting involved, eating lentils, dancing.
Oh, okay, right. That's enough there. Just shut up, eating lentils. Shut your face, will you?
Hold on, you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, let me tell you one thing. The biggest problem, biggest threat to climate change is agriculture, livestock. That's the problem. Yeah. So don't worry about oil and gas companies, all these coming there. If you want to cut down on CO2 and water consumption, check it out. 70% of the water used in the world is done by livestock agriculture.
Yeah.
We all need to cut down on that. Yeah, methane gas, CO2. Exactly. So they're using the cows, right? They're drinking all our water and farting the ozone layer away. Just
right.
Don't kill the cows, but don't
people eating lentils.
Don't eat cows. No, cows, not lentils. Lentils fine. Lentils go.
Right. Yeah. So you were getting angry, and then you remembered. Oh no, actually, I'm on their side.
I don't eat meat anymore, do I? But I've never had lentil. I don't think I've ever had lentil. It's got a really bad PR, hasn't it? Lentils. It just Neil from the Young Ones and all that. Just idiots.
I quite like them.
I've never tasted lentil. What do they taste
like? You have. Oh, you have.
Listen, I think we've come to the end of a natural podcast. We're just not chatting about the taste of lentils. I think we've literally hit the bottom of the lentil barrel there, haven't we? Right. Have a nice bank holiday weekend. And what are you up to, Pat, in the weekend? Anything at 99?
I'm going to Glastonbury. I'm going to go and see some of the people who are on the bridge.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who are on the what?
On Westminster Bridge.
Glastonbury?
That's where they live.
Oh, okay. But you're going to the bridge or you're going to Glastonbury?
I'm going to Glastonbury.
Right.
To meet some people who are in London.
Wow, cool.
I don't understand that.
And eat lentils and stuff.
And eat lentils, yeah.
Right.
I've got a taste for this now.
Yeah.
Cool. Extinction Rebellion.
Well, that's why you need to start investing in companies that are looking for solutions to this, rather than going just randomly. Like I said, it brings around a nice circle, you know, circle of life. Specialize and
you're going to sail down in your pink boat.
Tech will be the answer to all these problems, honestly. Yeah.
Amen.
No, I've hired a really, really gas-guzzling van, actually.
Yeah, just drive down there, right, polluting the air. And they open it up. It's like the back half of it is like a beef sort of steakhouse thing, you know, like a barbecue thing. I run this off cow. This is run off cow, this machine. Cow gas. Right. See you later. Last weekend. Bye 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 bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.